With less than 2 weeks to go before voting closes in the United States presidential election, top security officials in the US have announced that Russia and Iran have obtained voter data and are using it to influence the presidential election.
We have identified that two foreign actors, Iran and Russia, have taken specific actions to influence public opinion relating to our elections.
Iran used the data to send targeted emails to voters, pretending to be a hate group and threatening voters who didn't vote for Donald Trump. They also spread a false video purporting to show agents manipulating the mail-in voting process. David Shimer is a historian at Yale and the author of Rigged: America, Russia and 100 Years of Covert Electoral Interference. I spoke with him a short time ago and asked him what we know about the latest election interference attempts.
So we know, and we've known for quite some time, that Russia is very actively interfering in the 2020 election, in the words of the current FBI director, Christopher Wray. We know that Russia, has been working to steal the emails of prominent American political figures, which Microsoft has announced, and presumably Russia could release whatever they've stolen. We know that Facebook and Twitter have said that they've taken down Russia-connected accounts on their platforms. And then now we know what was announced tonight, which is that both Russia and Iran have accessed the voter registration information of U.S. citizens. To what ends, it's not clear. And with what means that they access that information, it's also not clear. But based on what happened 4 years ago, as I detail in my book, when Russia did have the ability to alter the voter data of U.S. citizens in order to sow chaos on Election Day, what I'm worried about is that the groundwork is being laid for a similar effort to try to cause enough chaos and confusion and doubt as voting unfolds to make it so the very legitimacy of the election can be called into question by the incumbent Donald Trump.
The details of this interference attempt seem fairly unsophisticated. You've been, as you say, studying Russian interference for a long time. How likely is it that Russia is also making more sophisticated attempts to sway the US election?
So I think that we should be humble about what we know and don't know about covert operations to interfere in US elections in real time. By definition, a covert operation is meant to be hidden from public view, to be unattributable. And so I commend and am very glad that U.S. law enforcement has been able to detect forms of Russian interference as it's been unfolding and to disclose that to the American public in such a swift way. That is commendable and worthy of continuation. However, I agree completely that there are aspects of Russia's interference that we may not be detecting, and also that Russia may have yet to actually deploy against our election. And that's why I believe it's so important that not only our government, but also the American people have to remain vigilant and prepared for the unexpected to happen. Because if there's one guarantee of the history that I detail in my book, it's that what Russia's after at the end of the day is to divide Americans from each other and America from its allies, to degrade our democratic processes, and to make it so that the viability of our very process of succession is thrown into turmoil. And so it's on us as a country to resist that. And it should also be on us to help other democracies resist similar operations against their elections.
This is a pretty significant announcement to make weeks before a national election like this, a presidential election. What kind of considerations would the FBI have been making behind closed doors?
So it's a very interesting question, because 4 years ago, the bias in the Obama White House was to be very judicious in terms of what was disclosed, because the idea was that if more were disclosed or if more information was publicized in a dramatic way, it would actually undermine voter confidence in the election, and it would make it so that Americans felt more doubt that the election would proceed fairly. There seems to be a different calculation happening now, which is that the more information that's out there, the better, that voters' minds can be fortified by having access to data about what's being done to manipulate them by foreign governments. And so taking that at face value, I think that there's a really strong case to be made for being more public about what's happening. I would also say, however, that a concern that I would guess is very much on the minds of top law enforcement officials is that, take aside what Russia is doing, there's already so much doubt about the stability of this election as a result of the coronavirus and as a result of the president alleging that the vote is rigged. And so there has to be a careful balancing act around being transparent, but not just sowing more doubt, more dysfunction, because if you do that, you get to the end of the ballgame here, which is whether the American people believe that this election was fair, free, and that the outcome reflects the will of the people. And that is the imperative. And if that were undermined, whether in reality or by perception, that would do an enormous damage to the stability of American democracy.
Can you shed any light on the situation with Rudy Giuliani supposedly having the contents of Hunter Biden's hard drive?
So I think that that is a huge open question, and that would be a perfect example, as you alluded to, of the known unknowns as these operations unfold, as intelligence officers refer to them so often. And it's important to recognize that whether it's 1948 or 2020, when the Soviet Union and now Russia spreads disinformation, they do it through cutouts, through third parties to hide their hands. So rather than, for instance, steal and release emails and upload them on Russia's state news website, Russia gives them to WikiLeaks to release, so that way the public doesn't realize that this is a Russian operation. And so looking at these emails emerging through Rudy Giuliani, on the one hand, there is no evidence that I've seen that indicates that, yes, this was Russian intelligence. But on the other hand, we know that Russia is working to undermine Joe Biden. We know that Russia's stolen and released documents before. We know that Rudy Giuliani has been in sustained contact with an attributed Russian agent. And so I would say that there's a lot of smoke there. There are a lot of questions in my mind, and an unfortunate reality of seeking to grapple with and defend against covert electoral interference operations is that in real time, sometimes smoke is the best you can do.
There are reports today that two senior US agents in Australia were attacked by what's been called microwave pulses, which apparently cause excruciating pain. Now, a CIA investigation is looking at whether Russia may have used microwave weapons. But is there any evidence to kind of back that up?
So I think that there is compelling evidence in the article published by GQ, as well as reporting by the New York Times, that, again, there are indications that it's Russia, Russian intelligence, the FSB, that is targeting U.S. personnel, not only overseas, but domestically, with this microwave tool. And I think that based on public reporting, the CIA director, however, is not convinced of that analysis. So this is by no means conclusive. But I would say that the evidence that is out there involving the attack against, for example, Mark Polyemaris, the CIA former station chief, when he was in Moscow visiting there, he experienced injuries consistent with this form of attack, and also with the tradition of Soviet and now Russian intelligence. I think, again, that there has to be immense scrutiny and investigation into whether Russia is behind this. And there also has to be both public and private pushback, real onerous pushback against this kind of aggression, because this is crossing a real line. If you're coming into American soil and targeting American personnel, attacking them with this sort of weapon, that demands a consistent and clear response. Otherwise, America is just fertile ground, open season for not only election interference, but for other forms of attack that get at the very heart of our sovereignty and our ability to function as a state in the international system.
Are we likely to see any of these issues brought up or being a theme in tomorrow's final presidential debate?
So I can't say. I think that what I hope would happen, whether it's in the debate or otherwise, is that the president, as well as his opponent, would say explicitly, whether it's to help me or to hurt me, foreign interference in American elections is wrong. It undermines the sovereignty of our state. It undermines the voice of our people. And we as a country should be pushing back together against this threat as a nation, rather than just as one political party or the other. I think you've seen that kind of rhetoric come from Joe Biden. I think you have not seen that kind of rhetoric come so far from the president. And I wish that that tune would change, because whether it's a Republican benefiting today or a Democrat benefiting tomorrow, every single time the loser of these operations is American democracy. And it's past time that we stop fighting with each other and we start standing up against the adversaries who are so determined to undermine the viability of our process of succession.
David, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
David Shimer is the author of Rigged: America, Russia, and 100 Years of Covert Electoral Interference.